Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Shit 90 shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I will only answer to Carlos the Elf in this podcast from the second forward.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Carlos. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I just rolled my stats.
Oh, what is your highest stat?
Con.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going with Constitution. Of all of the things?
I think I'm almost, after 3 years of playing D&D, I think I finally almost figured out what it means.
What Constitution means?
Yeah. I think okay, finally there.
I'm really happy that we've brought in someone who's not only a great friend of the podcast, who's also guested in the past, but also is a big fan of Dungeons and Dragons and knows how to be a dungeon master. So she can explain to you exactly what Constitution is, Sarah. Her name is Melissa and she's here. Hi, Melissa.
I mean, I'm having a very intense deja vu moment of helping Sarah make her character and explaining what Constitution was and why she might not want to have a negative score in Constitution.
So, yeah, I was like, this seems useless.
I believe we got on a StreamYard and had this exact conversation about two years ago.
Sarah doesn't always listen is the thing.
I did listen to Melissa. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Melissa listened to
what she did, but you still don't understand the reason.
Oh. Oh,
you
mean rules.
I mean rules of the game. You don't understand rules in general. Yeah. No. Well, we're going to talk everyone through all the Dungeons and Dragons content in this episode, because obviously all three of us know are pretty well versed in Dungeons and Dragons and can explain all of that. Discos, not so much. I don't really know a ton about discos, and I honestly prefer to keep it that way because I think I fall in line with Ken this episode when he's like, yeah, rock and roll, baby. Like, who needs disco? Sarah, you look like you disagree.
Or
maybe you're just apathetic. I can't tell.
I think that all music has a time and place. And I think that music builds on each other, like, without like rockabilly, we wouldn't have something, and that wouldn't have something.
Yeah, that's very fair. Disco built up so that, you know, what is it? Disco walked so rock and roll can run.
I mean that, but like also, I mean, in a way, it started R&B, which subsequently started hip hop, which subsequently started rap. Like, all music genres kind of build on each other. That's why it's so interesting to me why, like, the Elvis people were like, the Beatles suck. And then the Beatles people were like, the Who sucks. Like, you know, like it all builds on one another. If mm-hmm. there wasn't one thing, the other thing wouldn't run. But like, whatever. What is this? This is wow. this is freaking
philosophy geeks. Hour.
I suppose.
I actually did some reading about disco a while ago for a Severance Media Club podcast where we were talking all about disco.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Disco is actually super interesting as a music genre because it often comes out as a result to the like super political music of the 1960s when it was so often being used as like speech against like the Vietnam War and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was a genre of music that was sort of a return to music for the sake of fun and joy and escapism as opposed to
propaganda,
like, intense political activism. Yeah. And it's based on a lot of like popular Black, Hispanic, and kind of like other kind of subculture music in of that time, which is very cool. And so there's a lot of like, as a lot of popular music, it turns out started in those genres and then gets sort of like co-opted by white culture. But there's, it's like a really interesting era of like sexual liberation. And yeah, I think it's just a really interesting sort of like drug experimentation and that kind of stuff. And just a lot of like mm-hmm. the response to the super political rock music. And then I think that then the response to disco then ends up being kind of more heavier kind of stuff. And so this kind of cyclical nature of music, as Sarah was saying, I think is super interesting. And disco is just, it's again, not a genre that I listen to a ton either, but it's something that I, yeah, learning more about it sort of made me appreciate it on another level because of it filling this other role that kind of music mm-hmm. that I tend to listen to more was filling.
Well, again, especially without disco, we don't get Jason Segel dancing at the yeah. end of this episode. So yeah. We at least have it to thank for that.
It's definitely feel good, right? Like, I like the thought of like music, although, I mean, music embodies so many different types of feelings. Like, I really can listen to a song and my entire mood can absolutely change. And sometimes being a water sign, I purposely play sad music just to put myself in a mood. But I just think it's like really fun to have like fun music. And now we can still hear disco at all of your cousins' bar mitzvahs and weddings. So we can shake our groove thing everywhere, but especially after you read the Half Torah.
What incredible yeah. joy with disco.
Just as a tangent as well, now that since you brought up the water sign of it all, I learned from listening to your podcast that Kevin Mahadeo is a Scorpio, and it has sort of rocked my world a little bit because Adrian,
what did you think he was?
I had no, I don't know. I don't know this stuff well enough. I learned everything I know about astrology from the two of you. So I don't know. But Aiden is also a Scorpio, and so I'm starting to like pick out trends in my life.
See, this is the thing.
Just surround yourself.
This is the thing, Melissa. Yeah. All the science people are like, it's BS or it's witchcraft or whatever. But then you find yourself having 30 Cancer friends and only getting along with Capricorns. And you're like, there has to be something here, right? Because all like the majority of my friends are mostly born in July. And I have a good amount of friends that are born in June, but they're all like a little tricksy. And then I have a lot of friends that are also born in January. Now, why are my friends all grouped together? I don't know. Maybe because it's the stars aligning. Just saying.
Yeah. I think I personally believe it's confirmation bias at work, but I do certainly yes. enjoy it as an exercise. And yeah. I have given some thought to like, is there something in terms of birthday and like time, like how old you are when you start like elementary school, for example, like if you're one of the youngest or the oldest or something yeah. like that. I do think that there are potential like variables there that may be at work. I can't personally like fully co-sign everything, but I also mm-hmm. think like it's very fun and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, and it feels to me it, like
really all that matters.
It's just as silly as like looking at like birth order as like a reason for why people are the way they are. Right. And like, I think there's something to that too. I think there's something to Melissa, what you're saying about like when you start school, if you're the oldest, if you're the youngest, I was always the like one of the youngest in my grade because of where my birthday fell. I was also the youngest at home. So I think that like really, you know, I have a lot of younger sibling energy, I think probably because of that. But it is very interesting and it's really fun. And something, Sarah, maybe we should consider as like a little mini segment of our like wrap up coverage next week is to decide what characters we think are maybe what signs. Or just a couple of freaks, a couple of geeks type of thing.
All right.
That's, I think that would be pretty interesting.
That sounds great. I'll put it in the notes for next week's episode so that we don't forget.
Yeah. But Melissa, before we get too far into this, I want to hear your history with freaks and geeks. Like, have you seen it a lot? Have you just seen it like just one time? When did you originally watch it?
Yeah. So I actually can't remember when I first watched this. I think I was definitely in university and I think it was pretty young. So I didn't see it as it aired. But I, for some reason, got recommended it, binged the whole thing in pretty short order, and then would go on to binge it, I think, two more times kind of every few years. It's just, it is one of those shows that because it's only the one season, you can just make your way through it pretty quickly. And it is honestly shockingly well how much it holds up. Like, there are certainly random things, but there are a lot of more offensive things from this time period that you could be watching. So it's pretty good. It's still pretty funny. And yeah, so when I heard you all were doing it, I think I messaged you very quickly being like, I like Freaks and Geeks. I'll talk about Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed our time with the show. And it makes me more sad now knowing that like it didn't end up getting another season, because especially after this episode, the finale, it feels like, gosh, I would have loved to come back another season and see where these characters were. I feel like we leave off on such an interesting note. But yeah, let's get into it. We start our episode off with some really fun disco action. I did not realize, Sarah, that this man who owned that store in the mall was going to be around so many times. And now he's like running a whole little disco situation in a bowling alley.
We should have known.
On a dance floor of a bowling alley.
Yeah, we should have known because he was dressed so 70s. He sells all those 70s style clothing. We should have known. Now, the bowling alley is interesting. We have in our town a bowling alley that is always popping, like at all hours of the night. And it is like the biggest mystery to Adam and I what goes down in this bowling alley. We so much so that like we've debated about just going. I think that there might be some undercover disco going on or something. Why would like it be
like a speakeasy disco?
It can be 3 o'clock on a Tuesday and the bowling alley's parking lot is completely full.
It would be empty if that was the case. I don't know.
It is a mystery. And like we're like, okay, maybe we need to go in. But also the thing is that maybe some secrets are best left kept.
Yeah, there's a chance that people in your town just really like bowling that much.
They have nothing else to do in the Midwest. They're like, we love bowling here.
I don't know. But the thing is that then like on a Saturday evening, sometimes it's pretty empty. It's just so weird.
Well, because
people have better things to do with their Saturday evening.
Yeah, there are leagues. So maybe like there's a league that plays on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and all that. But Saturday, they're like, we're far too busy.
Now, I will say that I'm glad that you got to that point because it did take Adam and I about 2 months of debating this to talk about the possibility that there's a leagues going on every day. Yeah. So,
there are leagues. It's like any other like sport or hobby or activity. There are like groups of people that love to bowl.
I don't know what to say, Jessica.
It will
not
surprise you to know that literally like a week or two ago, Will and I were driving past our local bowling alley and we were like, we should go bowling sometime.
Well, I did agree to the bowling. Like, I was like, I'll go.
You would hate bowling. Like, you literally would hate bowling.
Wait, have you never been?
I've bowled before, but I haven't really bowled enough without bumpers to constitute me saying that I've bowled.
Yeah, it's almost like bumpers don't count, really.
Bumpers count.
But do they?
I mean, it doesn't.
You can't get a zero. Like, you can't.
Oh, no. I still got it in the gutter with the bumpers.
Very impressive.
Did it, like, hop over and go in the other gutter?
Yeah, that happened. It, like, snuck its way through. Like, I mean, like, when I say, like, I'm bad at bowling, like, I don't think that there's one thing I'm worse at than bowling.
Now I want to bring you bowling. Maybe mini golf. You're worse at mini golf.
Well, you know, I have a violent past with mini golf, so yeah. I broke my mom's nose playing mini golf.
It's supposed to be a non-violent sport, no contact generally between players, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe people shouldn't be super close when you're swinging the club. But anyway, we're at the bowling alley. That's the point of the story.
Yeah, and so there's like a whole disco happening.
This is something that apparently the freaks do on a regular basis, is go harass the disco people. And to their surprise, they see Nick there with a mystery woman who is apparently now his girlfriend.
We've seen her before.
Who?
Yeah. When? Her name is Sarah. She's been like more in the background. Now, to be fair, she's played by very famous actress Lizzie Kaplan. So
yes. Who apparently has always been in high school, because she's also in high school in Mean Girls.
Sarah, I didn't listen. To be fair, I had to look up her name because, you know, I'm terrible with names. We all know this. But I at least was like,
I also had to look up her name, but I was like, that's the girl from Mean Girls. Yeah.
She's from Mean Girls. She's the one who says something about your mother's chest hair, Sarah.
I don't know any of this.
So the two friends in Mean Girls, the guy and the girl, she has the line, he's too gay to function.
You don't even go here.
Wait, so she's Katie's girlfriend.
Yeah, she's like the goth girl. Got it.
Okay. I'm following now.
Yeah. So she's generally very famous.
I would say partially famous. It's not like she's like a household name.
She's in a lot of stuff.
Okay, whatever.
Right, but if we both had to look up her name, Jess.
Okay, that's fair. Point. She's also in a New Girl for like a hot second. She like dates Nick in New Girl. I remember she's a
lawyer. She dates Nick in this show.
She also dates Nick in this show. Yeah, she dates a lot of Nicks. Also, she's in True Blood. Which anyway, so she's been like hanging around in the background, but now Sarah and Nick are dating, and she's convinced him like, okay, we're going to do disco together. They're dancing. My question is, if it is like so common that the freaks come here to harass the disco dancers, why is Nick look shocked when he gets caught here? It's like, this is common practice for your friends.
Maybe it's just between a Ken and Daniel thing. I'm convinced that Ken and Daniel are the closer friends, and Nick is like, still their friend, but like he doesn't do all the shenanigans that Ken and Daniel do.
That makes sense.
I do think that tracks, especially when we find out later this episode that Nick has stopped smoking pot. I feel like that must put some distance between him, Daniel, and Ken. Wait, I said Nick stopped smoking pot, right? So that Nick is a little bit more distant from Ken and Daniel. I have to assume at least a little bit, especially if he has a new girlfriend, because we've seen what happens when Nick has a girlfriend and it like encompasses his entire life, basically.
Oh, yeah. He disappears.
He's one of those people. One of those like get a partner and now I'm invisible and you never hear from me.
Have you ever been the type of person who, like, when you started dating someone, you just instantly got into all of their hobbies?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we've talked about this. Like, I pretended to like metal music for like years because a significant other liked that music. I mean, like, I think there's a degree of that all the time. Like, I think that my previous relationship, I went to go see Marvel movies with him, and like I went, you know, like there was like certain hobbies that I picked up or certain things that I picked up for their sake. And I think that it's like both a little bit like when I was younger, it was like, oh, if I like metal music, then he's going to like me. But as you get older, it's like, well, if we share the same things, then we're spending quality time together. So it's a little bit more intentioned.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those things where like you should take an interest in things the other one enjoys, regardless of it doesn't necessarily. I think there's obviously like a line to it, right? Where you don't do it to the point that you give up everything that you're doing and all of your own interests and let it like change your personality in that way. And you could also like appreciate things without doing them yourselves, right? And like hear the other person talking about it or whatever, but not necessarily have to do it. I think that, yeah, there's definitely like levels to it, right? Where you can be exposed to something new through somebody else, but you don't necessarily have to like make it your whole identity. Now it's like suddenly I'm a disco person.
Exactly. I got the silk shirt. I got the moves. It's all me. But Nick's an all in guy. We'll see how that goes throughout. But
well, yeah, the guys accused basically all think that, oh, well, the only reason he's dating Sarah and is now like wanting to do disco is to attempt to make Lindsay jealous, which like, yeah, I do think there's a point to that. Like, I'm not saying it's like 100% his reason, but I think it could be both. It could be like, I want a girlfriend. I want a companion. Also, I would really like to make Lindsay jealous and regret breaking up with me. Both of those things happen to happen if I date Sarah. And Sarah seems like a very like pleasant person. I do think she gives me a little bit of the vibe of, oh my God, why am I blanking on her name? She wasn't even in this episode, which is also a tragedy.
Cindy?
No, not Cindy. We hate her now.
Millie?
Millie. Thank you. I forgot her name. She gives me a little bit of a Millie vibe, but like a little bit more of a popular version of Millie, maybe. Like she does seem like a good girl. I don't know.
I think she's a clout chaser.
Oh, interesting. She's a poser.
No, not a poser. A clout chaser.
Oh. We'll put does a pin Nick in have that. Clout?
We'll put a pin in that. So, okay.
Where Sarah's going with this, because she's kind of a wandering eye for whoever the new hotness is.
I
see.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's yearbook time. Because it's the end of the school year, so all the guys are the geeks are looking at their yearbooks. They're planning on how to get girls to sign their yearbooks. So much excitement. Love a yearbook talk. I mean, Jess and I always love to cite hags as the greatest words ever written. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Did y'all have friends in yearbook when you were in high school?
Oh, like in yearbook club?
Yeah.
No, not particular. But that was how you got all your pictures in the yearbook, was you had to have a friend.
My grade 12 year, it was like my friends were running yearbook. So my grade 12 yearbook has a lot of us, because they're like, we need someone holding a geography textbook. Here, we'll take this random photo. And it's very much.
There is something I love looking at yearbooks. It's literally my favorite pastime.
You begged me to look at my yearbooks when you visited me.
Yeah, it's my favorite pastime. If I get a hold of a yearbook, it doesn't matter. Like, I've even looked on digital yearbooks online. I just really love it. It's an archive of the times. I love looking at yearbooks from the 70s, 80s, or 90s. I think it's very fascinating. I can literally just stew into regular like yearbooks nonstop. It doesn't matter whose. I'm fascinated by them.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for the boys, their books get knocked out of their hands by the jocks, and they're geeks and they're wondering like, why is it us? Why can't we just be like guys in high school? Why are we the nerds? And in comes Harris, and he's like, BT Dubs, new edition of Dungeons and Dragons was released. I got the new book. We're going to play. And they all kind of look at each other like, oh yeah, that's why we're the geeks.
What's this? So what's the book? Deities and Dragons or whatever?
I think it's Deities and Demons.
Yeah, Deities and Demigods.
Oh, there we go.
Demigods.
Yeah.
I noticed that he had the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons book in like a previous episode. Mm-hmm. So,
is this a real edition, the deities and demigods?
So it's not going to be a whole nother edition, but this will be similar to like the monster manual that we have now, right? It will be like a whole nother set of potential playable.
It's authentic.
I'm assuming it's not like a pre-written campaign, but that it's a resource book of information. But you'll have to ask Rich about that, I guess. This is before my time.
So yeah, this is a very old edition.
Oh, they did good. It came out in 1980. So they actually did a good job with... because this is 1980.
Yeah, historically accurate. Look at that.
Love it. So there,
and I love, again, this use of Harris. I honestly, Harris is really, I've grown to love Harris. And we always were like, why was the person so obsessed with him that they just wanted him in like every episode? But I actually thought his contributions this episode were probably the most I've liked Harris. I thought him as a dungeon master, it was very, very fun. And like, if you've played D&D, I feel like he fits a very specific type of dungeon master, which we'll get into when we get there. But meanwhile, Daniel is planning on he's paying someone to be able to cheat off of his test for math because he's not gonna be able to pass on his own. And so he's getting out his money and they're all a little nervous that Sarah, being a little bit of a goody two shoes, is gonna like snitch on him. And she's like, she's doing the thing. I can't with high schoolers sometimes. They're like walking down the hall and this cannot be comfortable. Sarah doesn't just have her arm around Nick. She has her other arm wrapped around his front and her hands are like clasped. And I'm like, how are you walking like that?
They're in love.
They're not in love. They're not in love. Stop it.
They're in love. She's loved him for years. She doesn't want to let him go. Yeah, she said that
she's had a crush on him for years.
Behind him for years just because she wants, I don't know. I mean, like, wouldn't you want to be next to him, not behind him? Whatever. She doesn't want to let him go. No? Creepy? Okay.
It's, I don't know. High schoolers. It's just I don't know. I didn't date in high school. I don't know.
But we have Lindsay and Kim like watching, and Lindsay does have a little bit of a look in her eye of like, but she doesn't look happy about this, I guess.
I don't know. Like, is it like, I could not get a good read on what Lindsay was feeling in this episode because I think that maybe there was like a glimmer of like, oh, like you're just over me. But also it's like, I don't know if it was jealousy because I don't know if she was focusing on it. I don't know. What do you think, Melissa? What's Lindsay thinking in this moment?
I mean, I think you can be sort of like eyeing up your ex's new significant other without it being like, oh, I wish we were together. It can just sort of be true. Like, okay, like, how do I measure up again? Like, what's going on here? You can have
what some does sort his of, like, new girlfriend theory. Say about me as an ex?
Yeah, exactly. And like the fact that these two look a fair bit alike is probably telling.
Yeah, he definitely has a type.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very funny. And so Daniel has some unfortunate issues where he's not gonna be able to cheat off of the guy that he wants to cheat off of. So his solution is to pull the fire alarm. Problem is he gets caught by guidance counselor Rosso. And Rosso really loves to have like these like heart to hearts. And I guess that's kind of what being a guidance counselor is about, but he really tries to like understand his little pupils and stuff. But Daniel just looks at him like with such disdain. he does not want to be there. And it's almost like nothing Rosso says is going to get through into Daniel's head.
Of course not.
Yeah, I think Daniel's just like full-blown panicking at this point. He does not want to be held back a third time, which I think is pretty understandable.
When did he got held back? When he was what, like in elementary school?
I don't know if we know. I just know that like he told Kelly, right, that it was like, yeah. She's like, oh yeah, you got held back, whatever. And he's like, no, I got held back twice. So it has to have been before, at least one of them has to have happened.
Yeah, when he was younger.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think it was when he was younger.
So what? He's going to be a senior when he's 25? This is very troublesome.
Yeah. I don't know. He's just waiting for him to drop out, right? Like that one teacher said at one point. Like,
that's terrible.
So awful. Like,
yeah.
Just pass the kid and let him go. Call it a day.
Or actually help him.
I was going to say, or provide actual support and resources for this.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. But his decision is, okay, in order to like get you more, I don't know, in the studious mindset or something, I'm going to force you to join AV club. Which Daniel just seems like so bitter about. He's just like, what?
Yeah, and then this is also where we learn that this is like kind of the geeks' safe haven, and they really love AV Club. It's like, it's kind of like where they like go to hang out with the teacher who is, I don't know, we've never seen him before, but he's a reassuring guy.
Who smokes indoors and shows them Monty Python.
Yeah.
Melissa, I immediately thought of you and I was like, oh my gosh, this episode has Dungeons and Dragons and Monty Python. I'm so happy.
My notes for this episode are just in all caps. Monty Python.
Is that not appropriate for like a 14-year-old? I feel like that's kind of perfect. No?
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I was first introduced to Monty Python in elementary school. I think I was 11 or 12, and a buddy of mine, we had to do public speaking. And a good friend of mine wrote a speech on Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And I was like, what is this movie? And we like went over and watched it. But he also introduced me to like Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And
wow.
Responsible for most of my nerd cred, actually.
Oh, wow. I saw Spamalot.
Nice. I've also seen Spamalot. It's very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember it, but I do remember Spamalot that I went there. So, it is very upsetting to the geeks that Daniel's coming in, which I understand, because if it's a place where they feel safe and Daniel is part of the reason, I don't really think that like they terrorized the geeks that much. I think it was like reserved for the jocks that were really terrorizing them.
Kim and her friend, and I think like
Kim and Karen. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as a result, they kind of hold it against all of the freaks.
Like, yeah.
They,
I mean,
you know, they see them as a group, you know?
Yeah. Definitely intimidating to have Daniel there, where it's like, if you have this little bubble where you feel like it's someplace where you can be yourself, having somebody that is an outsider come in that you don't feel like you can trust is definitely alarming. I think like AV Club seems pretty fun. I remember but I was very into the TV production when I was in high school, which subsequently got me to be a TV and film major when I first went to school. So I understand the allure of a AV club. It's a mystical place. The rooms are kept cold.
Yeah, it sort of seems like students getting tasked with the work of like bringing film class and stuff. I don't really get it. But I understand this idea of what I remember being in high school, and I was doing, I had to do photocopying for band. I was like a student aide for my band teacher for a while, and I had to like photocopy all the sheet music for like, okay, we need this many flute pieces and this many trumpet pieces and whatever. And I remember going to the copy room at lunch one time, and I like opened the door, and this like group of nerds all looked up at me all of a sudden like, who is coming into our space? Because they were all like playing Magic the Gathering at lunch.
Yes.
And I just like very slowly like backed out and shut the door. I was like, I'm sorry, I'll come back.
But like, then they were probably like, oh my god, a girl looked at us.
Yeah, I was like, this is not my type of nerd, I'm sorry. I will leave.
That's really funny. Yeah, it's very interesting because we've not seen this before, and to me AV Club is something that is like very much was a thing, as Melissa said, because watching movies in a classroom wasn't as easy as like pressing play on a VCR Like you'd have to like have the wheel and then like line it up and do all this like weaving with the film strip and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, yeah, you did need someone. The thing is, they didn't give Daniel any training before they sent him into the field. Yeah. And poor Daniel, of course, all his friends are in the class he has to go into and they're all laughing at him, especially because he doesn't understand how to put the thing together. And the teacher is truly awful, like harassing him basically the entire time from start to finish. And I'm just like, give the guy a break. Like, again, I really am not a big Daniel fan. I really think he's just like a manipulative jerk most of the time. But I, you know, I have a little bit of a soft spot for him when he goes and he tries to learn how to actually put the stuff together for the next time. And Melissa, you know, the reason he did that was because he didn't want to be ridiculed. He like he thinks he's dumb. He feels like he's dumb and he doesn't want to look dumb.
Yeah, my headcanon for Daniel is that I, you know, if this show had got an extra season, I think it would have been really cool for him to get the chance to see like, oh, this sort of like manual kind of like repair is something that I have a brain for that like not everybody does, right? It is like not something yeah. that I have any sort of intuition for at all. And so I'm always very impressed by people who do. And so I think that it's something that I hope that he like manages to figure out and maybe even like shows up the geeks on something where he's like, oh yeah, you gotta do whatever, right? And I really would love that for him if it's sort of a academic intelligence has maybe not been his strong suit, but he's got other types of like mechanical intelligence that he can then use and go on. And if he can just make it through high school, he could go on and have a job doing something practical with his hands that he could be really good at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that what I'm craving to see for Daniel is there's just been a storyline of him feeling like he's not good enough, that he's not intelligent enough, that he can't do anything right. And I would really love to see him thrive in something to give him that self-confidence that he's lacking in this moment. And I think something in like a trade variety or a mechanical essence would be really, really great. And, you know, he can be very successful in any of those types of professions. So I wish we did get to see something that he really thrived at. Like, I think that we see a sprinkling of that. And I don't know, like, I think Jess and I are going to talk about like what we think these characters are doing after this season in our next episode. But I definitely think that we would have seen like an evolution of Daniel in a second season.
It's certainly possible we would have come to enjoy him a lot more had we gotten a second season for them to develop him a little bit more as a character and really give him like dimensionality.
Yeah, it's something that you see for every single one of these freaks, right? Whenever they have a moment that someone believes in them in any way, where it's like with Nick, where Lindsay's like, yeah, you could be a really good drummer. He's like he just absolutely starts like getting so excited. I think that like every single one of them just seems to have some internal narrative of whatever they've been told by the adults in their life that they're not good at. And I think, you know, if with Ken, it might be, you know, the relationship side of things, right? And then he starts to have this relationship with a girl who actually likes him back. Like, I think they all just have these like really deep insecurities based on the not great home lives that they all seem to come from. And it's just one of those where I just want to like wrap each one of them up and be like, you can do great. You can be fine. You're not an idiot. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that it really does make a big difference when there's an adult in your life that's encouraging of you. I think that everyone remembers one teacher that they connected with in some way that gave them some sort of confidence that they didn't have previously, or it just really makes a difference when there's somebody that seems like they care. So hopefully Daniel's doing okay out there, whatever he may be up to. I hope it's, I don't know. Good luck in all of your endeavors, Hags, to Daniel.
Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, someone who doesn't need any academic lessons, turns out, is Lindsay, because she, like, gets into this, like, really prestigious summit that is, like, the top 1%, and it's at University of Michigan, and she's not excited. She doesn't even really, like, want to go. She definitely seems embarrassed about the fact that she's being singled out about it. And to me, this is very much like, just like the AV Club is ruining Daniel's reputation, like, as a freak, this is ruining her reputation as a freak. Like, she doesn't want to be associated with this. And I really liked this episode. Obviously, her mom and dad coming down on her about it isn't really going to change her mind or kind of expand her views on it at all. What I personally enjoyed was the conversation she had with Kim about it, where Kim is like, listen, you're all mopey about this whole situation, but you at least get to go somewhere. And Lindsay tries to argue, oh, it's my summer break. Like, what do you mean? You could go somewhere. And Kim's like, I don't have the money. And even if I did, Daniel doesn't want to go anywhere. Who am I supposed to go somewhere with? And I really like, Sarah, like, the idea that Lindsay doesn't even recognize her own privilege of, like, you not only have the grades and the intelligence to get into this summit, but your parents are wanting you to go to it. It's an event. It's somewhere out of our tiny town. Like, it's exciting. You should want to leave because you can leave.
Yeah, I think that Kim has the thought that, like, she's going to be stuck in this small town forever, kind of like Joey Potter. Like, Joey Potter.
Very Joey Potter.
Was saying, if I don't get the grades, if I don't get the scholarships, I'm never going to be able to leave this town. And this is kind of Kim's sentiment. Like, she's feeling as though she has no way out. And for Lindsay to get an opportunity, Kim, like, just sees it as, you know, like, she sees it what it is. It's opportunity. Now, I don't blame Lindsay for being sour about getting into the summit. This seems like a punishment. Like, you know, you're going to get – okay, so you're first told that you're one of the smartest people. You're getting targeted right away. Then you get sent to a camp with a bunch of other smart people where you have to battle for who's the smartest person with – and then it sounds like it's like a vigorous competition and everyone's just, you know, dogpiling on each other and you get eliminated and then the best smart person wins. Like, this sounds like my personal hell. I don't want to do this.
I don't know that it's just like academic survivor, but maybe.
I think it's more like all the best and brightest to get together and they probably do still learn things. They're not going to get together and like not do lessons and stuff.
No, but I think that it was some sort of competition.
Was it? Summit doesn't scream competition to me.
I don't think it's a competition anywhere. But it's definitely one of those things where I totally understand why she wouldn't want to do it. My biggest issue with Lindsay is I don't understand this whole rebellion of hers. Like, it's because her grandma died, but like, well,
I think it was more, yes, her grandma died, and I think her being there for the death, I think, really kind of changed something in her brain about, she started thinking about the world a bit more, like almost like an existential crisis. And I think that, and also, wasn't it that her grandma told her there was no like heaven or hell or something like that? And that also
yeah, she did say that at one point. Yeah.
So I don't know if this was I was watching Linda Cardellini's audition tape today for Lindsay, and I don't know if this made it into the first episode or not. I'm having like a hard time remembering it, but she definitely had in the monologue that she was saying this feeling of like nothing matters. Like,
Yeah, like nihilism, you know, type of
work,
yeah.
Work, like school doesn't matter, like being good doesn't matter, like being bad doesn't matter, like nothing matters, like we're gonna all die anyway. So what I do just simply doesn't matter. And I think it's like this mentality that stemmed from losing her grandmother, because, you know, it really affected her, is like what got her into this point. But I agree with you, Melissa. Like, I don't think that this wound up being like a fully realized thing. And I think this is once again like a product of not getting a second season, them knowing by the time they're filming the last few episodes that the show is canceled, that they didn't really dig into this. And I do think that there's a little bit of like a lacking plot hole of like, you know, what's going on with her. And once again, I just feel like we needed a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely would have loved the second season just for that alone, because Lindsay is a very interesting character. And I wish we'd gotten a little bit more of like the reasons behind some of what she's doing beyond just like teenage angst, I guess. But of course she has to go to Mr. Rosso because this guy is just like obsessed with the Weir family sometimes. They have a conversation and he's like, of course he brings up the Grateful Dead and how like, oh, you know, I followed them around and it was great and listened to them. And she has this like, okay, I don't know why this is what my brain thought of when this scene was happening, where she's in her bedroom and she's listening to the Grateful Dead and she's like dancing. I'm like, how awkward must this have been for Linda Cardellini to just dance by herself in a teenage bedroom in front of a bunch of cameras and producers?
And not for nothing, you know what I also learned today? Miss Linda Cardellini was like 26.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? But she looks spectacular. She looks like a teenager. I don't know. Maybe she was having a good time. Maybe the music was like really good to dance to.
Yeah, I don't listen to a lot of Grateful Dead. I definitely listen more to like the type of music that the freaks listen to in terms of, you know, the Who and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I tried listening today, but I didn't get past one song and made me a little sleepy.
At the same time, Daniel is trying to talk to Kim about like his troubles, and she really, and I kind of get it. She just like doesn't really have time. She's like, what is your problem? Like, what's going on? What's happening in your head? And he's just upset. And I don't know.
Kim's got no time for anybody's bullshit today. She's like, I
appreciate her.
She's like, I have this puka necklace on and I don't have any shit to give today. No, everybody's on my shit list. Everybody sucks.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Sarah and Nick are practicing for their upcoming disco. It's very funny. And she does ask him like, oh, do you still have feelings for Lindsay? And he's like, no, like very quickly. And then, of course, he goes, well, I do care about her. And we're all like, Nick.
Nick's got it bad. He's never going to go over her.
Never?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, he's the type of guy that's going to be like, oh, there's this girl, Lindsay, and she's the one that got away.
I don't think that's a healthy mentality when she says no.
No, Nick is not healthy in terms of his relationships. Like, he's a sweet guy, but he is a toxic boyfriend.
Yeah, he's a lot. And while Nick and Sarah are like at this disco competition, Ken drags Lindsay there because he's like, if you tell Nick that you'll never get back together with him, no matter what he does, he'll give up this whole disco thing. And he's, of course, Daniel's not with him, so he's kind of by himself dragging Lindsay behind him to basically be like, disco sucks, like, and heckle them from the crowd. I'm like, why are you, this just feels like, where's Tuba Girl? Like, don't you have other things to do?
Yeah, she definitely comes and goes a bit in this season. And it's like, oh, I don't know. Stop yucking yums for people. But
yeah, especially you're just embarrassing Nick. And like, Nick isn't doing disco to spite you. So just let him be. Let him have his terrible hair and his silk shirt and dance on the dance floor. Come on. but him and Lindsay do have a conversation. And this is really weird, Sarah, because it's like both of them almost want to say, like, hey, is there anything here? But neither of them do.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess it could be literally just a case of teenage brain where it's like, I want what she has, right? Like, I'll have what she's having. Like, you know, like you just, Sarah, don't cringe. We watched that movie.
What movie?
When Harry Met Sally. I'll have what she's having.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Oh,
that's the famous scene when she does the fake orgasm.
I do remember. Yeah. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Melissa looked very confused the entire time.
I also haven't seen this movie, but I am sort of aware of the scene.
Okay. Literally, When Harry Met Sally is literally one of the best rom-coms of all time. And I watched it once to be able to say that. Like, I was so impressed with it. It immediately skyrocketed up my list.
Yeah, it was very, very good. Okay, so do I think that Lindsay just wants Nick? I mean, no, I don't. I don't think Lindsay wants Nick. I think that Lindsay is too focused on her academics, like, summit and what she's going to do this summer. And I know she's not going to do Nick. So I don't think that she cares.
No, she's going to go do what's his face from the Santa Claus?
Wait, what's his face?
Barry!
Yeah, Barry. She's thinking about Barry. That's true.
Oh, we need Melissa's. Melissa, as someone who's watched Freaks and Geeks a few times, do you think Barry is like a secret asshole?
No.
Thank you. Sarah's been bashing him all season long.
He appeared like two episodes ago, but yeah.
Yeah. But it's been all season since then.
I just think that the Neil and his brother are cut from the same cloth as his father. I just don't trust that family at all. They're a bunch of ruffians, is what I say.
Ruffians?
Yeah, they're a bunch of ruffians, a bunch of philanderers. That's what I think. Yeah, I really don't think that Lindsay's having any feelings for Nick. I think that she's too focused on herself. That's what kind of Lindsay's all about. She loves to think about what she's going through.
I think this is that moment, though, of like, you're with somebody and it's like, man, if they could only get their act together, like, this could be really good, right? And then you break up and then they get their act together and then it's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
like, why couldn't you be that way when we were together?
That's frustrating.
That's the reaction that's like happening right now of like, wait, this is you the way I wanted you to be. Could we go back to that? But it's like, no, but you weren't like that. You weren't able to do this.
Too much time passed.
Yeah. Well, because when they were dating, she was like, you smoke pot too much. Like, all you do is smoke pot and like lay there and eat chips.
Yeah. You're not
doing anything productive. And now he's not only doing something, but he's doing an activity that a girl he's dating enjoys. And so I feel like that very much is like what the hell?
The new girlfriend always gets to reap the benefits of the, of all the hard work that you did.
Yeah.
It's pretty bullshit.
You know what? On the bright side, we did get Jason Segel dancing it up all on that disco dance floor, really shaking his groove thing. And I loved this. I love this so much because he's like so into it. And of course, his little girl Sarah on the side is just being like, woo! She's like a proper woo girl. Mm. And she's like so happy for him. She gives him a big old hug.
And then what happened, Jessica? And then what happened?
Then we get this man, this curly haired man who comes out on the dance floor in like a red suit. And he's not only doing disco, because that's not enough for him to win the competition. Nay, he must also do magic while he's
I don't think that this is allowed. You can't like I'm serious. Like, you can't just show up to a dance competition and just add magic. That's not fair. That's not dancing. But this bitch is so impressed by the magic that she's like all up his ass now. And she's
this girl, the only one who's impressed by this magic.
Yeah.
Listen, I wrote in my notes.
Yeah, I wrote, oh no, Jess, he's doing close up magic.
I have a line And I think that when you combine dancing with magic, it just, it loses it for me.
Oh,
I
do. Really?
I think
it loses it for me. Is that the line?
I think so, because I wasn't impressed with this guy. And maybe it could have been the suit. I also think his showmanship lacked a little bit. I wasn't like, there are certain magicians where they do it with like a pizzazz of like a, like when they show you like, oh, is this your card? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, I just fucking did that. Like, you know, like an attitude of like, I know I'm impressive, but I don't need to be like showboaty about it. This man is like, ooh, look at this cloth that's 20 meters long coming out my sleeve. Like, he's a little too much.
Yeah. I don't know if I like magic tricks.
You don't. We've been through this.
I guess I already had my stance on it.
Just know you don't like it because I like it. It's the same thing with beatboxing. No one appreciates the things I enjoy.
It's because you're weird.
I was going to say, I think it's because you enjoy weird things.
Also, Melissa, because I know you watch Taskmaster. I've been watching Taskmaster. Well, rewatching, I should say. I've seen all Taskmaster. Rewatching it with my husband, Will, who's watching it for the first time. And we're on series 8, where Ian Sterling is on the show. And I love Ian Sterling dearly. There's something so attractive to me about this guy. And on one of the,
why are you saying that about your cousin? This is really gross.
He spells it IR. Thank you very much, Sarah. Also, he's Scottish. We're not related. And anyway, so in one of the episodes, he beatboxes, and I was like, this is it. This is it.
Jess, should I tell you that series 8 is my least favorite series of tests?
Oh, it's not good. Yeah. Oh, it's your least favorite? I feel like I'd put other series lower than it.
Most
like,
people put 6 so below much. 8, but I really hate the winner of 8. I cannot stand them.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I think I know who it is, too. So, but yeah. Anyway, beatboxing is great. Magic is great, but this guy sucks. And Nick is really, really devastated because he just put on a masterful performance and immediately gets one-upped. So you can't really blame him for being upset. Let's talk about the geeks before we finish off talking about Lindsay and her journey, because Harris is very much a guy. Well, yes, I would classify him as a geek. He's kind of an everyman's man. You know, he seems to kind of dabble in all groups, which I really enjoy.
A floater.
And, yeah, he's very much a floater. And he invites Daniel to D&D to play with them.
Yeah, so my buddy Luke, who I've been friends with since like kindergarten, and we like still hang out, he's the oldest friend I have, and he's the one who introduced me to Monty Python and like a whole bunch of other things. He was this guy in high school. It was shocking to me. Like, the jocks loved him, but he was like absolutely like a geek and like a tuba player in band, and was like, and I was like, how do you, and it was so funny because he would be like talking to me about some, you know, some jock guy or whatever, and I was like, Luke, do you know I hate him? And like, do you know I don't like these people? That, because they're mean to me. Like, I need you to realize that they treat you differently than they treat other people. Yeah. And it was like, I had to have these conversations with him because he's like, oh yeah, this like Matt guy. And I was like, do you know that guy called me the C word because I wouldn't show him my report card? Like, can we not? Oh yeah, that happened for real once.
Messed up.
He wanted to see if he beat me, and he did not. I already knew that. I didn't need to check his report.
What a loser.
Yeah. What a loser.
But yeah, anyway, it was just funny that, yeah, my friend Luke was Harris in this way, where it was like absolutely like a geek, or like true friends were the fellow geeks, but the jocks were still like very intrigued. And I think it's like a confidence thing. I think it's just one of those of like very much owning who you are and not being embarrassed about it. And just, yeah, the jocks seemed to dig it too.
Oh, wow. Good for what's his name? Luke?
Yeah.
What's Luke doing today?
You know, he's like working and got a long time partner and yeah, just like living life. But
how's the tuba?
I don't think he has played it since we were in high school.
How's the tuba?
He's actually a miniatures like champion. He like won some like huge, like, you know, like Warhammer miniatures. He like won some gigantic, he's one of like 7 people in the world to like, or in like the history of North America to like hold this title of like big winner. Anyway, I like watched a whole like video. I was like, I don't understand what's happening, but this is very cool.
That's wild. Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. And this whole time, Sam also has been like, I don't want to be a geek anymore. I don't want to do geeky things. Yeah. D&D is for geeks. But as soon as Daniel signs up and says, yes, Sam's all in again.
Yeah, he's so, there. And yeah, we need to there. Talk through everyone's characters here and how sure. much we think they make sense for them, right? Because okay. right. we start off with Bill, who he says, I want my new D&D character to be called Gorthon. Gorthon the Thief. And they're yeah. all, everyone, so it's Sam and Neil are both like, oh, Bill, come on, don't be a thief again. And Melissa, to me, this feels like the tropiest trope of all time, where you have yep. a person who always plays a thief, aka a rogue, is more like it nowadays. And all they ever want to do, I pickpocket them. And they get yep. caught and they die.
Until he falls down a well. Yeah, I thought that was also very funny. Can I also yeah. shout out this whole like thinking D&D is for nerds until your friends are doing it and then suddenly you sign up for it? I just, you know, not to like yeah. call out anybody specifically on this podcast, mm-hmm. but just, you know, thought that
yeah.
maybe needed to be. I don't know how long it's going to convince Sarah to play with us, but
it is.
Get there.
Very long time.
I mean, I do like it, but I don't feel good about it. No, I'm just joking. No. So, Gorthon the Thief, I think it's fine. I approve, I guess.
Yeah, I just also, it's fine. Yeah, I also just think like, Bill, don't be that guy. All right. Mm-hmm. Don't be the, well, my character would do this yeah. guy. No one likes that guy, Bill. Don't do it. And then we have, Neil is Kragenmore the Destroyer. It's like a pretty yeah. cool name. I was assuming a barbarian, especially because Neil is like the nerd geek that wants to be like big buff bro, right? Like he's on the shorter side. He just wants to be the beefy tanky guy. So to me, the Destroyer just sounds like a barbarian name.
What's his name?
Kragenmore.
Kragenmore?
Yeah, that's how it's spelled. Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
That's how they said it.
Pop off.
Yeah. And then this is where I get a little confused. Sam is playing Logan the Huge. That's like yeah. a really dumb name.
I mean, it feels very akin to what's it, the Well-Endowed from that Community episode, right?
Hector.
Yeah. Same vibe.
Hector the Well-Endowed.
I will say his little yeah. hat sent me, and I really loved his little
hat.
He
was wearing like a bard hat, wasn't he?
I so love I don't that understand. Hat.
He's Logan the Huge, but all right, maybe he's
like a Scanlan, and you know what's
I was
going
to say. Yeah, not
Sam, though? This is Sam who was like embarrassed about the hickey. I don't know that yeah. Sam is that guy.
No, I don't think so either. But maybe it's a bit of a maybe it's a joke, right? It's like a yeah. you know a giant named Tiny, right?
Where yeah.
like,
yeah,
you know he plays a little like gnome bard, and they call him the Huge.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That tracks. I can see that.
Did we find out what Gordon plays? I don't know that he revealed it.
I don't think so. I don't have it written down.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the star of the show. Carlos. Carlos.
Oh, Carlos. Yeah, Carlos.
Okay, I gotta say, when Daniel was like, I have a great D&D name, Carlos, I died. I thought it was so funny. And I guess in this game, they had to roll to see what they become. And he is a dwarf.
Yeah, he was not happy yeah. about this either.
I felt bad at this. They're like, I was like, he doesn't have to be a dwarf. Like, just let him be anything. It doesn't. Why are you? Being
I feel like if you're, especially if you're getting someone into D&D,
yeah.
like half the fun of it and like half the mm-hmm. reason they want to get into it is because they want to be able to create a character. Like,
yeah.
Daniel wants to play a character that is, well, I guess in this case, he wanted to play more of a guy that was like just like him. But some people want to branch out. But I did like, even though I agree with you, Melissa, that they should have just let him be whatever he wanted to play as. I did like that they were like, yeah, but dwarves are great. They're really tough. They can find jewels. Like, they're actually better than you think they are. I really liked that they kind of talked him into, like, liking dwarves. Because dwarves are awesome.
Dwarves are yeah. awesome. But yeah, we convinced Sarah to play because she could be a fairy. Like, we understand.
That was literally the only reason. I was like, oh, I can be a fairy? Yes, I'll play then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's Carlos the dwarf. And everyone is like laughing, and I love how he says to Bill, "You got a problem with that, Gorthon?" And he goes, "Oh no!" And he goes, "I'm just joking."
Yeah. There were two quotes about D&D in this section that I absolutely loved. One is their general description of D&D as cracking jokes, eating snacks, and pretending to be somebody else. I was like, yeah, that's what D&D is.
1000%. Yeah.
Perfect. That's what we do. And then their description of the DM, where he says he thinks being a dungeon master gives him license to mess with our heads. And it's like, yeah, it does.
Yeah, Harris is that guy, all right? Harris is the guy who, he's not going to be a soft DM. He's not going to let you get away with stuff. And he's going to make it, because what does he say? Should I let you encounter kittens and grandma so as not to upset you?
Yeah, that was so funny. It's like, it's a great point. And, you know, want to make sure your players feel challenged, like they're overcoming obstacles, right? It's part of the role of the DM. So I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, I loved this. I loved them getting to play. They all seemed like they were having so much fun. I really loved the, it is I, Carlos the Dwarf. The dragon has been slain and you're free to rule your kingdom.
He had to have been... I think that he did get to play with his sword, though. Like, I thought that was what he got excited when he heard about the dancing sword.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I think that he probably got to slay the dragon with a sword. And he liked it enough that he would come back the next day.
I loved this so much.
Yeah. He killed a dragon in his first game of D&D ever. That's like pretty epic.
Pretty advanced. And Bill's character also died again.
Yeah.
Which I also loved that tiny note of. I liked the little montages we got where they had their pencils and they were like fighting with them like they were swords and stuff. I just felt like it really added to the overall like vibe. And the fact, and I was like, this is so genius. Again, I didn't play D&D when I was a kid. I only got into it a few years ago. So I don't have this experience. And I've only played in person. Like, you know, I can count on two hands the number of times I played in person. I love the idea of using dominoes as like a battle map, because you can move them around and make walls and everything. I was fascinated by this. I was like, they're so smart. I love them. I love when Daniel says, oh, do you want to do it again tomorrow? And everyone's like, yeah, I guess. That's great. And Daniel leaves and they're like, wait, does this mean Daniel's a geek or are we cool?
Yeah.
Daniel's a geek.
So
I think that Daniel is crossing over to the dark side, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
He's a geek.
Dark side?
I don't know.
The dark side is the best side, though.
Is it? Why are you so evil? Yeah.
They have cookies.
Cookies.
Yum.
Yeah. I wanted to see more of this D&D game. I thought it, like, there was so much fun that could have come from this. I wanted, like, I could have used less disco and more dragons.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But I really liked this. And again, like, it is a tragedy that we only got one season, because I would have liked to see how they handle this in a new season. Like, how does Daniel, does he interact with them in school? Does he care if people see him interacting with them at school? You know, like, I have so many more questions about this. But unfortunately, we don't get any of them answered. We just know they had a really, really fun time playing D&D together. And I do feel like this is a really great outlet for Daniel because, gosh, you can be bad at D&D, like, if you really try, but it's more about the fun. And like, I hate to be like that person to be like, it's the friends we made along the way. But it really is like the fun of playing. Like, sometimes you can roll poorly and it's still really fun. And so I like that Daniel's able to kind of have a hobby or a game that he's playing that isn't really about being better than the other people. It's about working together and it's about socializing. And we have seen, Melissa, Daniel is really good at like manipulating people and like talking his way into things. And that's a really valuable asset to have at a D&D table.
That's a great point. That's absolutely a great point. I'm happy that Daniel is kind of finding his way. And we talked about this earlier, but, you know, we've been shitting on Daniel. Every single person in this world goes through something. They all have a past. They all have struggles that they're dealing with. You know, you don't know what's happening behind the scenes or how somebody is brought up. So I wish the best for Daniel. He's kind of a dick, though.
We see the glimpses of this, right? Where he's like, got to go like pick up the pills in the morning and be late for class and stuff. Like, there's clearly so much going on in his home life that it's really hard to imagine like dealing with everything in high school and then also dealing with a bunch of responsibility at home, with which sounds like a really sick parent, and another one that's maybe leaning on you inappropriately for a high schooler. And yeah, certainly doesn't seem like a great situation for him.
Yeah. And then let's end things with Lindsay, because she's off to this like summit. Her parents are dropping her off. Sam is dropping her off. Even Bill and Neil make an appearance with, what is it? Something sweet for a sweet road trip or something like that. A sweet little trip.
Yeah, exactly. A little heart box of chocolates. Neil is really proud of it, and also it's like, it seems like Bill was the one that gave him the idea, because Bill, whenever they send Bill's grandma on a bus, they give her chocolates and a name tag with her name and address on it in case she gets lost. Oh, yeah. Grams.
I loved this. My brother's best friends in high school are basically like my brothers. Like, they've helped me move. I've been to their weddings. Like, I thought that this was really sweet, because this just reminded me of my own like kind of trio of brothers, even though I really only have one of them. I have a very similar kind of setup to this. That's of like cute. My brother's friends being very close with them. And yeah, like, it's wild now that they're both like married with kids and stuff, but it's, yeah, they're like very important people to me. And so this made me all emotional. I thought this was very cute.
And I love when Lindsay gives like everyone a little kiss on the cheek, and then Neil a kiss on the cheek, and then she gives one to Bill, and he's like, he didn't even do anything. And Bill's like, yeah, I didn't have to spend any money. Ha ha.
Bill's such a baller. Like, I love can Bill. Definitely see Bill in the fake second season just becoming like some buff guy that like turns out to be kind of cool. The actor himself, Martin Starr, is like such like a interesting guy right now in this day and age. He like definitely has like a Keanu Reeves sort of look. Would have been interesting to see what Bill became.
Bill is definitely the guy who would like become popular by not even trying. And then also not really caring that he's popular, and Neil would be like so jealous about it.
Yeah, he'd be running circles trying to catch up with Bill's suaveness.
Yeah. and then Lindsay gets on the bus, and then a few stops later, Lindsay gets off the bus to greet freaking Kim and the deadheads that she met in her school that had told her, this summer we're going to follow the Grateful Dead around for 2 weeks. It's going to be so much fun. And she just hops in their little van with them, changes her little formal jacket into her, of course, her bomber jacket, as she loves to wear, takes her headband out of her hair, and is ready to rock and roll.
Lindsay's fucked. When her parents find out, she's going to be in so much trouble.
Yeah. How does she think she's getting away with this? There's no way they don't figure it out, right? Like, she could lie to them the whole time, be like, today we went to what? Like, at some point, they're going to know.
That's later Lindsay's problem, not this Lindsay's problem. This she is doesn't such care.
A bad plan. I don't know. Mom and dad are going to be grounding her until like the next universe. I don't know. And also, I don't know. Well, I hope she has fun. And I'm glad that Kim gets to get out too.
That's what I was most happy about, was that like her and Kim are going on a little adventure together, because I think that they both kind of need it for different reasons, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think Lindsay wants to stretch her wings a little bit and do something outside of her comfort zone. And I love that for her. I love that her and Kim are going specifically because I think Kim could stand to get out of town, like, and to have someone there who will kind of keep her in line a little bit, like Lindsay will. I think they're a really interesting pair. And I really wish we had gotten a second season so we could have seen how this would evolve their friendship even more.
I don't know. I'm nervous. These two are going to get into some sort of trouble this summer. I think... bad trouble. They're gonna get arrested.
What? Arrested?
They're gonna be on the drugs. They're gonna
the drugs.
I mean, Grateful Dead drugs, though, right? They're gonna take LSD? Yeah. They'll be fine.
Okay. Well, as long as they're okay.
What did you think of this ending of the series, Melissa?
I find it a bit sudden. Like, I'm just like, wait, this is it? Like, this is all we... I just don't feel like we get a ton of conclusion for any of them. And I just...
Yeah.
Depending on when they found out that they weren't getting more of a show. But even just seeing this as like a season finale, I find it quite like, I was like, wait, what happened to like everybody? Like, where is everybody off at this point? So I'm curious to hear what you all think for your next podcast. Cause I kind of have those questions of like, where'd they all go? We just like, we sort of end on what Lindsay's summer is like, but we don't really get much for any of the rest of them.
Right. Like, it's such an ensemble show that, I mean, we don't really know what anyone's up to. Like, even Sam, like, I feel like Sam was, next to Lindsay, the main character. He was kind of who we were following, and like, we don't know what he's up to. Like, we just saw him, and like, I guess he reestablished his friendship with his friends and he spent a night out with them, but like, we know that Sam has a desire to no longer be a geek, and it's like, that I know would have been a focus in the next season, but we don't really get like much of a resolution to like his story. And then it's been such an ensemble show, we really got to learn everyone's backstory. But yeah, like, we don't know, does Nick break up with the Sarah girl and like want to go after Lindsay? Is Ken still with like Tuba girl? Like, is Neil like, is how's he feeling about his like dad situation? And like Bill, like, his mom was dating the gym teacher. Like, how does that go down? Do they get married? Like, there's so many questions, and we're not going to know the answer. We can speculate about what happens. But yeah, like, I agree with you, Melissa. Like, I think that that was Adam's impression too. He was just like, that's it. And he was like, I feel like it's if we're left feeling a little incomplete. But overall, I really like the show a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm slightly offended that you neither of you asked me if I was a freak or a geek in high school.
Oh my God, I forgot. Are you a freak? I mean, I feel like we kind of, this is interesting. I want to know, okay, I want to know not only what are you now, but what were you in, like, in high school when the freaks and geeks existed, you know?
Yeah, so I think, like, I've always been a nerd, right? Like, I, yeah, like, took every science class I could in high school, right? I was a band geek. I think I had freak tendencies in terms of like, you know, like, I was wearing like Rolling Stone shirts, and I was like into, I didn't like, I don't think I certainly wasn't like preppy either. But I, yeah, so I don't know. I was a big like kind of flannel shirts and rock band t-shirts kind of vibe.
As you're wearing flannel now.
Yeah, yeah. it's all been the same. But yeah, I think I have always certainly been a nerd and a geek with like the ability to like enjoy like freak outlets as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I was mostly joking, but it was like, I mean, I was very obvious.
I would have said
not
that
cool in high school.
I would have said like that was the thing. Like, the freaks were not cool, but they weren't popular kids.
No,
they weren't.
They were the misfits. They were the kids who you're like, oh my God, they're doing bad things. It's like kind of cool though.
Yeah. Jess, what kind of shirt are you wearing? Are you wearing a geeky shirt, you freaking geek?
I'm wearing a sweatshirt that has my own podcast on it.
Yeah, so. That's pretty nerdy.
Yeah, pretty nerdy, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. Like, how about you, Jess? Like, how did you feel about this episode and, like, the series finale? Of course, it's probably not what they ultimately wanted, but
yeah,
what we got.
I would say, like, I feel like half of the episode feels more like a finale to me than the other half. Like, I would say the Dungeons and Dragons storyline felt more finale-ish to me because, like, we're welcoming Daniel in. Like, you know what I mean? That, but the disco thing felt a little like something that would have happened earlier in the season. So, I don't know. I feel like what Melissa is saying, where we're kind of, we're left hanging on a lot of these characters, like what are their summer plans? But I think that's kind of fair, given that like when they wrote this episode, they probably thought they were going to get a second season. And so they weren't, Lindsay was our character, right? Like she was, I know it's an ensemble cast and everyone is absolutely incredible, obviously, but Lindsay is like our character. So like, it makes sense that we're ending with her. I'm excited to speculate next podcast on what we think all the characters got up to, because it's obviously really sad this season. We never got a season two. I feel like I can only imagine like what they would have done in a season two of the show. I feel like they really killed it on their first season with setting up all of these characters. And sometimes a second season of a show is really where you get to see them spread their wings and really experiment, now that they have like, now that we have these characters down, we have like the Bible for each character, if you will. Now, what can we do with them? So I'm a little bit resentful like we didn't get that. But ultimately, I really love the show. And I think that most episodes were hits, not misses. The show rarely missed, I would say. But yeah, I really liked it. And I'm really excited to chat about it next week again, and kind of like a little bit, what did we learn? What did the show teach us, sort of thing? But yeah, Melissa, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. It's been a long time coming, but we finally made it a few months in. It only took us a couple months to cover it, I guess. But thank you so much for coming on. What else do you have going on? Where can people find you? You're very busy.
Yeah, people can follow me on Twitter, MelissaW28 or MelissaWoodward28 on other social media. I am currently talking Doctor Who with Adam and Kevin Mahadeo, both, you know, kind of frequent guests of the pod. And there's new Doctor Who specials coming out shortly. So that's very exciting and a really great time to dive in if you haven't been listening along. Otherwise, we're just wrapping up our Series 5 coverage. I have been talking Goosebumps with Todd the Librarian. I've been talking Lessons in Chemistry with Dr. Amanda. And otherwise talking, if you enjoy this D&D talk at all, check out Rich and I covering Dimension 20's Burrow's End. The first episode is available for free on YouTube, as well as a bunch of their like entire previous seasons. And the rest of it is available on dropout.tv. They're really good about password sharing. So if you want to like check it out, there's usually ways to do that. Also, it's just like a pretty cheap streaming service and it's well worth
it. Really is. You get so much bang for your buck with Dropout, honestly. Like Make Some Noise is one of my favorite shows. It's just so perfect.
Yeah, it's very like Whose Line Is It Anyway? And it's basically the only streaming service I pay for. So I highly recommend it. And so Rich and I are covering it every other week. And it has been super, super fun to talk to Rich about it. Just kind of some big fantasy Dungeons and Dragons storytelling type conversations. You don't have to be hugely into D&D, although it certainly helps. But yeah, those are kind of the big things I've got going on. Otherwise, I play D&D occasionally whenever it happens over on twitch.tv/DMPhilly.
My mom says that she only listens to 3 PSR podcasts, and Lessons in Chemistry with you is one of them.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah. She also listens to the Gilded Age podcast because she said Jess and I ditched it. And I think that she thinks that Marissa and Jason do a much better job than us. Which,
I mean, fair.
And then what was the other one that she listens to? I don't know. She doesn't listen to any of your stuff, Jess. Sorry about it.
That's okay. I'm not too offended, I guess.
Lessons in Chemistry is not Dr. Amanda and I being huge fans of that show. So I hope it's enjoyable.
She probably doesn't like the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been very fun to talk about academia and our respective experiences with it. A lot of processing of all of that academic trauma. But the show has made some weird choices as of late. So I apologize to anyone who really liked the book and then is coming to the podcast hoping for our positive takes on the story that we are being
It doesn't seem to bother Robin. She seems to approve of the podcast.
She's a fan.
Yeah, she's a fan. Right. So over at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we just started our coverage of Felicity. Melissa, do you Felicity?
I have never watched Felicity, but I probably, well, you know.
Now's a great time to
dive in. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now's the time to jump on in, watch Felicity and join us on the podcast. But we just started our coverage. We went over the pilot, and then we also this weekend are releasing our coverage, our bonus content of Edward Scissorhands. Melissa, if you here, what was the question I asked you, Jess? Would you rather have scissors for hands or never have another cat ever again?
Oh, wow.
This is what she did to me on the podcast, too.
I mean, you know, it's like look behind the curtain. It's kind of a really terrible time to be asking me that question.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But oh, also, I mean, gosh, I think
I just want you to pick scissors for hands. That's the answer.
I don't think I can. I think it's one of those things where I love other animals enough. There are other vehicles mm-hmm. in which to experience cats that I think I would have to say, I don't think I can pick scissors for hands. It's just so bad. What about
only have pet snakes for the rest of your life or scissors for hands?
Oh, man.
Snakes.
I like scissors. I just want you to pick scissors
Sarah
for hands.
Sarah just really wants you to have scissors for hands.
I don't think
hands.
I can pick scissors for hands. There are too many things I like doing that I could no longer do.
You can't do, like, I don't know, peeing. Like, you, what are you going to do? Yeah,
knitting will be so easy. I can't play Ultimate Frisbee when I have scissors for hands.
But knitting will be so easy.
No, you constantly cut the yarn by accident.
Cutting it up.
Okay, whatever. So you can listen to us debate about Edward Scissorhands and all.
My favorite was talking about Edward's Etsy shop. So that's why you should.
Well, he's an entrepreneur.
He is an entrepreneur.
Because of the doesn't he make like paper snowflakes or something? Is that?
Yeah.
At one point, he does do that. Yeah.
I don't know why that's the memory I have of that movie.
I was gonna say it's mostly the hedge trimming he's known for. I think the sculpture things.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So all that and more, you can find a Shit 90s pod. I don't have anything else going on. I didn't get Gilded Age for a second season. What a shame.
Yeah. That was totally, totally not within your control. You can find me at the Jess Sterling. I'm over on Pusher Recaps as always. Grace and I are doing full spoiler recaps. I just watched Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. That was a ton of fun. Beyond that, I'm mostly here. I guested on a Grays podcast, which I had the time of my life on. Truly, like, Grays is so unhinged. And you know what else is unhinged? Felicity. I'm going to tell you right now, I've watched 2 episodes of the show so far. Felicity has lost it. And I don't think she'll be able to recover it.
Felicity's never had it. That's the problem.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Felicity. She doesn't have it. She doesn't have it. She's lost it. Every other character, I think, just gets pulled into her orbit of nonsense. And I'm greatly looking forward to discussing it because she's lost.
Seems like she's a toxic friend.
It's possible she is. So check out the Felicity podcast. That's my biggest plug. Of course, you could find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, Shit90sPod.com. If you want to send us in a voicemail, we love getting feedback. We love hearing from you. Yes, you, dear listener. I think that's everything. Sarah, do you have anything else to add?
No.
Oh, she wants to leave. Okay, well, that's our podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us today. We still have one more podcast coming out on Freaks and Geeks where we're just going to talk through, again, like where we think the characters may have ended up, our favorite characters, our favorite episodes, on and on. You know the deal. We won't bore you with the details. So listen next week. I just want to prolong this podcast to see Sarah get more.
I just want to have like my salad dinner and
all right,
just,
go. Okay,
I just want a needlepoint. Can you just end it?
You needlepoint now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to let Sarah go needlepoint. Have a good night. Good night. Have a good day. Have a good night. Have a good whatever. Have a good one.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.